Welcome to Talos Takes, the security podcast for everyone from the C-suite to the front lines.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Talos Takes. Today, I am joined by Craig Jackson from Cisco Talos Incident Response to talk about supply chain attacks. Thanks for coming on, Craig.
Thanks for having me, John. Appreciate it.
Today, we're going to be talking about the recent 3CX attack and kind of supply chain attacks in general, because you and Alexis, who used to work for Talos Incident Response and now still works for Cisco, but in a different area, you guys wrote back like last year about supply chain attacks in general and kind of how folks can prepare for them. And the 3CX incident is kind of bringing supply chain attacks top of mind. And I'll say off the top that the 3CX incident is an evolving situation. So like Talos coverages might change or detection might change, but I'm going to be linking to our blog post on it in the show notes, which will have the most relevant information. So kind of just wanted to say that off the top. But in general, I feel like 3CX is the third major supply chain attack that kind of comes to mind for me in the past 3 years after you had SolarWinds and Kaseya after that. So do you think the supply chain attacks are getting particularly easier for attackers? Are they just like looking at it as an easier avenue for themselves and that's why they're taking it? You know, why do you feel like supply chain attacks keep happening? It's just kind of like, well, these issues, you know, people still haven't fixed these same issues we've been talking about this whole time.
I don't know that it's necessarily that they haven't fixed the issues, and it's tough for us to understand what the adversary's initial access vector into these compromised companies is, because we don't usually get the forensic data from the initial breach. We only find out later on, hey, there's been a supply chain compromise. In terms of, are the attacks becoming easier? Is it the same things being exploited? It's very difficult to say. I think one point that I would make is there is an increased opportunity for adversaries now. So as we see new productivity applications rolling out, telepresence, communications, there's an industry boom with these applications. They're all becoming integrated and they're becoming deployed by so many organizations around the globe. Each one of them represents a potential entry vector for an adversary into the supply chain. So if you think about it in terms of like attack surface, the supply chain attack surface increases every time one of these new integrated applications, you know, telepresence, productivity, that kind of stuff is introduced into the market. And I think adversaries are taking advantage of that. And it makes it harder for defenders and blue teamers as the attack surface grows to kind of keep that in check from a detection and prevention.
So like I said, back in November, you and Alexis kind of wrote about some advice on how organizations can best prepare for supply chain attacks. So I kind of just felt like this was a good time to go back and revisit that advice. Can you kind of just give the listeners a recap, a high level recap of that advice and kind of any quick hits that we can go through on the show now?
Absolutely. The recommendations that we provided weren't super technical. We were looking to keep it kind of higher level at a people policy and procedure standpoint that would be applicable across the industry. When we talk about things like broadening vendor communications, when have a risk management program likely to begin with, that's a staple of an information security management program. So you have that vendor risk management component to begin with, but then you want to broaden that, establish those relationships with your vendors from an incident response perspective as part of the vendor risk management process. So bring them into those conversations early on, make sure the incident response teams from both organizations are comfortable with each other and know how to communicate. That will set you up for success if there is a breach along your supply chain. Doubling down on asset management was another recommendation that we made. Asset management is every IT administrator and every IT director's favorite activity. We acknowledge that in the blog, but it is something that is essential. So, and it goes beyond talking about what hardware is deployed where, who has what laptop and that sort of thing. We're talking about understanding what's in the cloud and what's on-prem from both an infrastructure perspective as well as from a application perspective. Who has permissions into those applications? If you lose your Active Directory, if you lose the ability to determine who has permissions, where and for what applications, it makes incident response very difficult because you don't know who was able to get into what, or if an account is compromised, you don't know what that account has permissions to. Understand what tools and security controls that you have that can analyze certain applications and infrastructure. So let's say you understand that a server got popped or was compromised in a certain subnet. What security tools are able to be used to forensically analyze that system or understand the activity around that system? And probably last and most importantly, what software do you have running on your hardware? What the software dependencies do your applications have? When we look back at, you know, the end of 2022 with the Log4j, Log4j, Log4Shell, however you want to pronounce it. When you look at that, you know, a lot of organizations were caught by surprise because they had no idea that particular piece of software was running in their environment because it was a subcomponent of other software.
So I want to get back to the asset management portion that you talked about, because something that Nick Biasini and I have talked about on the show before is that it's important to kind of keep a software bill of goods. Like you were mentioning with the Log4j incident, it's better to figure out like what exactly is running on your environment when. But not every organization has developed a security program where they're ready to make that jump to be a more mature security program. Maybe they just don't have the budget or the people, what have you. So if you're like a smaller security team, or maybe even like a team of one at a small business, how can you prepare for supply chain attacks if you're not ready to make that big of a leap to a lot of those other things?
So to clarify, the recommendations that we made, and then I just kind of briefly covered, they are scalable from a budgetary perspective. Just to provide an example, you know, the vendor communications, you could absolutely outsource your vendor risk management. You could pay thousands and thousands of dollars to have someone do that from a third-party perspective. But you could also start with something like a vendor risk questionnaire that's just a PDF or a Word doc that you send to new contractors during the contract inception, have them complete it, and then have conversations around it, you know, have a rating scale. Same thing with asset management. You could go out and you could buy a $100,000 asset management platform, or if you don't have the budget, you can start with Excel. I've seen plenty of customers start their asset management program on an Excel spreadsheet. And you know what? When the time came, they knew where to go and who to talk to about a certain asset because they had it documented in the Excel spreadsheet.
So then lastly, I want to circle back to the 3CX incident at hand. If you're an organization who uses the affected desktop software, and like I said, the blog post that will be linked in the show notes will have all the details on that. What are some steps that you could take to be prepared for a worst case scenario, or what is something your organization could be doing like right now to potentially respond that somebody might not be thinking of right now?
The first thing that I would do is follow the manufacturer recommendations for mitigation. So when you think of it from the perspective of containment and eradication, I believe 3CX published some guidance in terms of uninstalling the application and then reinstalling the known good version at this point. So that would be the first step that I would take. Secondly, leverage your threat intelligence. There is quite a lot of it out there. You know, the Talos blog on 3CX has a lot of coverage recommendations and IOCs that you can use to try to identify any related activity and then address that. But leveraging threat intelligence to try to identify that would be my second recommendation. And then thirdly, prepare for incident response. Make sure your team, if and when that happens, make sure your team is ready to respond. They understand what this vulnerability was and what the elements of the supply chain breach, what that could mean for your organization, and prepare to respond to it if and when that occurs.
All right, awesome. Well, thank you so much for your advice, Craig. I hope that folks found this helpful, and I appreciate you coming on the show. As always, if folks want to know more about Cisco Talos Incident Response or get in touch with someone through Craig and his team, you can go to talosintelligence.com and look on the IR page. Thanks again, Craig.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it.